I think the key for us in that, John, is that where are our eyes? If our eyes are not on that object, then there'll be trouble, and there'll be troubled hearts. There'll be confusion. There'll be the difficulties will begin to overwhelm us. And the key really is, where are our eyes? Are our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Is that our focus? He says that we need to set our affections on things above, not on the things here. Because when He who appears, who is our life, He says, we know positionally it's true. But can we honestly say practically that for me to live is Christ, that He's my life, that He is what I live for? In a practical sense, can we each say that? Because the struggle, the reality is, we have to say from day to day, it's not always so. And we get overwhelmed with the burdens of this life, and the reason being, it's because we're carrying those burdens instead of casting them at His feet and letting Him carry them, where He said, casting all your care. And by the way, just to mention this, it doesn't say cast all your cares. Cast all your care. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage us with that, that if we let the cares build up, then we have to cast them all. But if we cast each one every time they come and cast them upon Him each time an individual care come, then we'll be more focused on Him and how precious that is. And it will overwhelm our hearts, and it will just encourage us on this pathway here as we wait for His return.
I'd like to tie a thought of the Father's house with the thought that Bill brought for us from 1 Corinthians. Tie the thought of the Father's house and the thought from 1 Corinthians. In the Gospel of John, this is the upper room ministry of the Lord Jesus, He talks about later on the Spirit of God, who is going to testify concerning me and bring to your remembrance the things that I've told you. And then in 1 Corinthians it says, these things I have not seen, ear have not heard, but it's the Spirit of God who searches the deep things of God, who makes them known to you. And that reminds us of that story of Eliezer, right? He tells Rebecca about everything that's in Isaac's hand and what's at that place where he's coming to take him. And so how do we get this to this point of staying focused? It's really allowing the Spirit of God to set before us the features of Christ and to remind us of the things that He has said. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, many abiding places, I want you to be with me. The Spirit of God's desire is to attract us to the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and take us to be with Himself.
I just wanted to make a quick point with regards to the contemplation of the coming of the Lord. I think for us to be really in that, we have to be in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And we have to read the Word of God on a daily basis. And reading all of these truths and making them real to us as believers. Because if we don't read the Word of God, we'll never really understand what the Lord has for us. Mm-hmm. So really, with regards to most of us who have children and the younger people in here, they need to have constant studies, daily studies of the Word of God, to make these truths a reality to them in their daily life.
I think that's a tremendous point, because there's three basic levels of understanding any truth. One is to be able to describe that truth, and in some ways we're describing it here. The second level is to be able to demonstrate that from opening up the Word of God and going through it and being able to show, well, this is what we're talking about, point one, point two. And then the third one is to be able to defend it, as the Apostle Paul says, in defense of the gospel, to be able to defend that truth from the Word of God. And I wonder, concerning this truth of the Lord's return, whether it be the rapture or whether it be the second coming, how are we doing? Are we able to describe it? Are we able to demonstrate it with verses from Scripture on our own and not in a group? Or are we able to defend it? Can we defend it when someone questions and says, well, as Brother Leonard, thank you. As Brother Leonard mentioned before, there's some that believe that the church is going to be raptured halfway through. Can we defend that? Or can we just say, well, no, we can describe what's going to happen, but we can't defend it. And I would take this, if I could, beyond just our subject today. How are we doing with all the truths that we claim to be from the Lord? Are we able to defend those truths? Are we in the Word so that we can defend them? Or do we just are we just able to describe them? These three levels are very, very important in our Christian life. That we be able to pick up the sword and defend the Word of God.
Mm. Brother, it's interesting that you say that.
Tim.
But I knew that. Because these specific truths are under attack. As a matter of fact, that which is known as dispensational delineation, dispensational truth, is under an attack as never before. Not only from the seminaries and those places where those who go in for that sort of study, but also in the media, in the news, and at the grassroots. The idea that God has delineated epochs of time, seven dispensations, at least three, law, grace, kingdom. Every Sunday school scholar, every rudimentary understanding of the scriptures, there should at least be an ability to understand law, grace, the kingdom. God dealt with Israel under the law. We're not under law, Paul says. We're under grace. The church age is a great truth that we must understand. And in the last century, well, it's no longer the last century, in the 1820s through the 1900s, great brethren revived these truths and paid a tremendous cost to revive these truths. We must keep these truths alive. And this is the age of grace. And God is now working through a people, Jew and Gentile, in one body. The great mystery. We must know these truths. And then there's coming another age. Another vast epic that God has promised. It's rooted in the Old Testament. And it's Jacob's time of trouble extending into the millennial kingdom. So law, grace, and kingdom. 1,000 years, Christ will reign. Revelation chapter 20, mentioned 6 times. You can't ignore that. And so we're not here to teach dispensational truth. It takes a long time. But it's very important to know these truths and to defend them and to stand firmly upon them because they are under attack, because they are the great truths for this particular age. This is Paul's gospel, Paul's ministry, and it is the heart of what we believe as brethren, not as Plymouth brethren, but as brethren. These are the truths of God for this age. Very vital.